The following program is presented by the Nerdy Show Podcast Network, geeky programming for all nerds across the multiverse. All Nerdy Show programming is made possible by a comic shop, Orlando's number one comic shop and nerd destination, and with generous support of listeners like you. For more Nerdy Show podcasts, community forums, and to learn how you can support this and other fine Nerdy Show programming, visit nerdyshow.com.
We're sorry, the number you have dialed is not in service at this time.
Please hang up and try again.
Grab a slice of the Epic Podcast. Don't stick it in your mouth. Put it in your ear holes now. Ladies and gentlemen, Nelson, Lugo, and Schaefer the Dark Lord.
Ladies and gentlemen, coming to you from the beautiful and spacious Studio 6C in Astoria, Queens, this is the Epic Podcast, episode 27. I am your host, Nelson Lugo.
And I am your other host, Schaefer the Dark Lord. And
I am your guest, Lucas Siegel.
Yay! Charles Stunning is running late tonight, and with us in the studio, we have Lucas Siegel, so we just thought we'd bring him on to open the show. Friend of the program,
fourth
site editor
time
of Newsarama.com, four-time guest.
Didn't you guys end this show? Wasn't that a thing? Didn't you end it?
No. Oh, no.
Did
no.
Remember when we... No. I was on that episode.
There was we wanted to call it the
last
Pop
episode.
Podcast.
Right.
And the Nerdy Show lawyers thought otherwise.
Yeah.
and so now we are here. Hello, Lucas Siegel.
Hello, Nelson Lugo.
Last time we saw you, you were a single, engaged man.
Right.
You have since been...
Now I'm many people.
you are now hitched with a lovely ball and chain.
I am. I think you were there, in fact.
I can't confirm or deny that. But be that as it may, you look good. You look good. You wear marriage well, sir.
Oh, thank you.
Yes.
That's actually a tie, but yeah, marriage is good. I'm enjoying it.
You are celebrating your six-month wedding anniversary this week.
Yes, yes.
And the last time you were on the show, I believe, was our live show, right?
Right, right.
Which was in August 2013.
Yes.
So... it's just like ages ago. It's just you're just growing up so fast.
Yeah, that's a thing that happens. Time passes. People age.
Settled.
Things change. Except for you two, apparently, because this looks exactly the same.
Yeah. I'm 40 now, but
hey,
I'm still doing everything that I did when I was 10.
Happy belated birthday to you.
Thank you.
I've wished you happy birthday way too many times.
Yeah, you don't have to do it again.
You're done.
Yeah.
So, Mr. Siegel of Newsarama.com.
And also friend of the Epic Podcast.
And friend of the Epic Podcast. Every time we bring you up here to Studio 6C, you always have a bucket full of news, rumors, tips, all kinds of stuff. So I want you to pretend that you have an information shotgun, and I want you to just shoot me in the face. Go!
Oh, if I had a nickel for every time Nelson's asked me to do that.
Yeah, I feel like as the decorum that we may have once employed with you may be draining. Like I started thinking today when you were coming over, that I'm just going to think of things I can poke you with.
Right.
Until you tell us the secrets that we want, that you are privy to, that we are not.
Well, I've done a lot of speculating on, well, let's say speculating with air quotes that people can't see because this is an audio podcast.
They know what they're listening to.
Yeah.
We have very savvy listeners. They can hear those pauses and decode them as hand gestures.
I've done a lot of speculating about a certain class of Marvel character that may or may not be showing up on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. very, very soon.
Huh.
Huh.
Television's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. introducing a mutant from the Marvel universe.
You're close.
What
you're
do you mean
close.
I'm close.
So Marvel Studios does not own the mutants.
No.
Wait,
are we talking about an Inhuman?
What?
Dun dun dun.
Wait. Is it Is it my favorite Inhuman?
So if you've been watching Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., you know that there's this artifact with Kree writing on it. And there are people that now have Kree blood in them. And there are certain people that can touch this artifact, which we just found out this week is called the Diviner. And they're fine. And then most regular humans touch it and they turn to stone and then burn from the inside out. Yeah. The artifact also happens to include that little map that points to a hidden city.
Yeah.
And the hidden city is connected to the Kree. And it's all about the people that the Kree think are worthy of continuing to survive on Earth. Guys, it's Inhumans.
Yeah.
It's
gotta be.
This is Inhumans. The city is Adalan. And we're going... At this point, there's two episodes left before the winter break. At this point, if you're a betting man... your money is much better spent on the word Inhuman being uttered than it is on it not being uttered in these next two episodes. So the other little tiny twist to this is that Marvel put out an issue of the book Inhuman today. It's the last issue out between now and the end of the first half of the season here. And they sent every retailer in the country double the amount that they ordered for free.
Huh.
In anticipation.
So you would assume there's a reason for that.
I could do the math. Interesting.
So this all stemmed from Kevin Feige at the big Marvel Studios announcement event said, "You might hear or see the Inhumans much sooner than you think." And they're not going to take up space in Age of Ultron. And yeah, this is...
Well, you know, if you can't have regular mutants, space mutants will do in a pinch.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So the Inhumans, for those who may not be quite so versed in the Marvel Comics lore, the Kree came to Earth thousands and thousands of years ago when man was first starting out. And they did some experiments on humans in order to try to see whether humans had the potential to be anything more than the cavemen that were literally walking around at the time. And these experiments are what created the Inhumans. The Inhumans look, sound, act, are exactly the same as regular humans until they go through a process called teragenesis, where they inhale this mist from this rock called Terrigen. And called Terrigen, and that activates their Inhuman abilities. So
nice.
Chances are one of the team that's been on S.H.I.E.L.D. for the whole shebang here is in fact an Inhuman.
Oh, you mean Sky?
That will make her much more important to the whole lore.
You know what? I mean, I guess that makes sense. If they're going to make anybody Inhuman, Sky's kind of primed to be the character to sort of take that on.
Right. Now that we've seen that her father has some levels of superhuman strength and speed and reflexes, and her mother lived
for
40 years without aging a day.
The show has always been, for the most part, sort of like through her point of view.
Mm-hmm.
And so that just makes sense that she would be the one to have that extra layer of character added onto her. So
yeah, it's pretty interesting to see them get into this. I mean, the Inhumans movie isn't coming out until November 2nd, 2017.
I'll be dead by then. Yeah.
So
by my hand.
So we've got a ways to go here before we're going to see them on the big screen capacity.
Then Marvel is, I guess, can use Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. to sort of lay the groundwork.
Also, there's so much going on in this Marvel universe that they can have a lot of little slow burners going everywhere.
Yeah,
absolutely.
And things up. How long do you think they're going to slow burn this the Infinity Gauntlet?
Well, I mean, that's been slow burning since Captain America.
No, how long do I guess you think they'll keep it simmering until there's a reveal?
I thought there was already a reveal at the end of Guardians, wasn't that?
I mean,
wasn't the whole thing with the jewels and the Infinity Gauntlet and the...
With Guardians, I mean, we've seen the actual Infinity Gauntlet in Thor. It was in the armory there.
I mean, assembled.
Yeah, you won't see it fully assembled until Infinity War, I think.
Okay.
What we'll see is we will see the two stones that are remaining. So we've seen space, mind, power. What else have we seen? Space, mind, power, and reality. And we still have time and soul to be revealed.
Huh.
So
All right.
power is the orb that was in Guardians of the Galaxy. Mm-hmm. Mind is the one that's in Loki's staff. That's the mind gem. And then space is the Tesseract, and reality is the ether.
The ether?
Yeah, from Thor 2, Thor the Dark World.
Ah, right.
Yep.
Right.
Oh, yeah, you're forgiven for forgetting that one.
No, I saw that one. I actually didn't... I
enjoyed the movie,
I enjoyed it, not nearly as much as...
Malekith was such a throwaway, which is so disappointing, because I love Chris Eccleston.
I like Mr. Eccleston myself. All right. Well, that's a lot of Marvel. That's a lot of Marvel to digest.
That's your Infinity.
Yeah.
Holy crap.
Well, primer. Also that's Infinity and Inhumans primers.
Yeah. So I think the next stone we'll see. I think we'll likely see the Time Stone in Doctor Strange. That's my intuition. We'll see time in Doctor Strange, and then soul probably in Guardians 2.
Guardians 2.
So the soul gem traditionally is often found embedded in the forehead of Adam Warlock, and we have seen him seen his cocoon at the end of Thor the Dark World, and again in Guardians. And at the end of Guardians, his cocoon is open. In the collector's museum there. His cocoon is open and he is gone.
Here's a little aside. Based on the stinger of Guardians,
mm-hmm.
Was that a throwaway reference, or will we be seeing more Howard the Duck?
You might want to look to the comics first.
Okay.
And
he's going to make a reintroduction into the comic continuity.
I'll pull a Kevin Feige here and say... You might see Howard the Duck much sooner than you think.
All right. Well, that's a lot of Marvel. Let's move over. Let's move over to the big DC.
Yes.
Kind of. They're killing it on the small screen. Not so much on the big screen.
Yeah.
But really, like their new outings on the small screen have been pretty stellar, by and large.
Yes, and they continue to poop on everything that is printed on paper.
Yeah. Why do they hate print?
Why
are these DC shows so good?
When are they going to announce that that everything that has happened so far in the New 52 was just a dream that Superboy had?
All right, fanboy. Hold
off.
The New 52 is pooping the bed.
It was so
all over the place.
Not everything in the New 52.
That's true.
Bad.
Not everything is.
Number one. And number two, the New 52 has absolutely brought in new readers. There's no question about that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So that was the original...
That was the point. That was the intent.
Right.
I should qualify that a bit. I don't dislike the New 52. I like it. I've enjoyed so many of the books that I've read since they started the New 52, and they brought me back in as a reader, as like a monthly, weekly reader. And that's great. I guess I should say that in the past year, they've built so much great stuff, especially in the Batman titles. And then in the past year, they've just mockingly smeared poo on so much of it. so many crossover events, so many events, just so many events and gimmicks and zero issues. And
But
really what it's about is that they put a bunch of fucking Justice League and Apocalypse in my peanut butter. And now it tastes like the shit that I don't want to read.
I have event fatigue. I have world-ending event fatigue. It seems like every damn story from Superman to Batman, everything in between, everything is a world-ending event.
Forever evil.
Yes.
Future's End.
Oh, don't even get
Super
me,
Doom.
Don't even get me started on the whole Animal Man thing. You know, like with the red versus the green.
And that was great for two trades.
Yeah, but like.
Well, now it's, you know, you're getting in the metal is coming in and the gray is coming in and.
But yeah, don't stop. We're not even going to get into that. Although I do like Swamp Thing. Why? Go. I no longer can speak about this intelligently.
I may be speaking, casting a wider net at all of DC's publications because I am so livid, as you know, Lucas, just livid with how disappointed I am with what they did with the Damian Wayne story and with Batman and Robin, a great book with a great writer and a great artist. And now it's like they've been locked in a basement and they're being fed raw fish and they're being like, this is a story you have to draw now. They're going to travel to another dimension with Cyborg and they're going to reanimate as it. I just want to, I'm just so disappointed that I've been following this shit for so long. And this is what this is where it's gone.
Well, I mean, Convergence is going to give it all a chance to take a step back a bit.
What's Convergence?
So Convergence, as much as you're tired of events.
Another big event.
Just wait until April and May 2015. So April 2015 is the 30th anniversary of Crisis on Infinite Earths.
A great comic book event that they have.
Basically the first major comic book event. And in celebration of the 30th anniversary of Crisis on Infinite Earths, they are doing a major multiversal event. And what they're doing is Brainiac in the New 52 is not actually from the New 52 universe. He lives outside of what we look at as time and space. He can see all the multiverse. And rather than just taking bottle cities, he's taking basically bottle realities. So he's taking little parts of realities from all over the multiverse, and he's actually taking it from the omniverse, the multiverse of the multiverse, basically.
Stop. I no longer care.
I know you're not publishing this, but fuck you.
I have officially stopped caring at all.
I'm officially overwhelmed.
What?
Holy what shit! The? Where the fuck did you come from?
Hi, guys.
She's right next to me.
Ta-da. My God, you just materialized like a mist.
I do that.
Holy.
So, Convergence.
Oh, God.
Convergence, yes. Brainiac.
Yeah. Has realities. Brainiac opening all of his bottled realities on his
birthday.
His little world.
And he's going to get drank.
On his world that he calls the Blood Moon for some reason. Funny enough, the Blood Moon was revealed in September of this year, which was a month with a Blood Moon.
Yeah.
Astronomically. April is the next month with a Blood Moon. And next September, which is traditionally DC's big event month, also a Blood Moon month. So it was probably something to do with that and kind of on purpose, which is actually fairly cool that they did it that way.
I'll give them like, kudos for that.
Good work on that.
That's an interesting idea. But what they're going to do is they're going to have like...
What they're doing is you'll have like Connor Hawk Green Arrow and you'll have the old school Titans with Donna Troy and you'll have Wally West and his kids and his wife Linda Park and you'll have Stephanie Brown as Batgirl and Cassandra Cain. And all of these people from all different points in time and space and multiverses are all going to be on this one big world and they're all going to fight.
They're going to fix it, though, because they're going to have the Flaming Carrot and Mr. Mitzelplick and, Deadman all show up and they're going to use the Chaos Shard and erase all of that reality and then Jason Todd's going to die again.
So, like, week two of it was just revealed and it's basically all of these 90s characters. So it's, like, 90s fucking awesome jacket-wearing Superboy and Matrix Supergirl. It's all these 90s characters and it's them versus the Kingdom Come characters. So it's all the old aged,
but there's
DC
no storytelling.
It's just a fight.
It's all gimmicks
now,
and cash grabs. Now,
of course, what's hilarious about this is over at Marvel Comics, starting in May 2015, is Secret Wars, which is going to
is
going to take sections of different realities from across the multiverse, place them all onto a world that's called Battle World that the Beyonder creates. Again, Beyonder, Brainiac, Battle World, Blood Moon, multiverse sections of realities all thrown together on this world, and he's going to make them all fight. So you're going to see the Ultimate Universe versus Future Imperfect versus Age of Ultron.
Lucas.
Why?
I want you to take a look at the giant field of fucks that I just don't give.
I feel like they're going to just roll their eyes or sigh directly out of their skin.
You know what? I'll give DC a point on this one, because at least they came up with a stupid new name for their stupid idea. Whereas Marvel is like, Marvel, this is like a DC move for Marvel, because they're like, well, Secret Wars is really, call it Secret Wars.
Now here's
is the Fantastic Four going to come back from space with the symbiote costume? Because that happened in Secret Wars.
Here's the cool part.
In the real Secret Wars.
Here's the slightly cool part about Secret Wars.
Oh my God.
Let me give you the slightly cool part about Secret Wars.
Schaefer just rage quit the podcast.
I'm sorry.
It's that Jonathan Hickman, when he first started his run on Avengers and New Avengers, this was what it was all leading to. It's what it's been all leading to since the beginning. And every single story, so at Marvel Comics, since John Hickman took over on Avengers, they've had the original X-Men have been pulled through time to come forward in time. You've seen future X-Men come backwards in time. You've seen Miguel O'Hara, the Spider-Man of 2099, pulled back in time and stuck there. You've seen with Uncanny Avengers, there was all sorts of crazy time travel and characters from all over the multiverse being pulled in, and time was locked down for a while and Kang was angry and blah, blah. And you've seen Ultimate Spider-Man and Spider-Man crossover. And now you've seen, you know, Ultimate Nick Fury was stuck over in the Supreme Verse for a while and back over to Ultimate. All of this stuff has been happening, and it's all of this crazy manipulation of time and space and the multiverse. And they're actually doing something with all of that. So all of that has actually all been part of this one story, and it's all leading to this final moment where the multiverse is all collapsing in on itself, and the only way that they can find right now to save Earth is to completely annihilate other Earths and kill every single person in that universe. And that's what some of the heroes in the Marvel Universe, like Reed Richards and Black Panther and the new Doc Green Hulk and these guys have resigned themselves to doing this, where they are actually willing to destroy other universes. So it at least it has like 3 solid years of buildup, and it's been going on in little bits and pieces all over the entire Marvel Comics purview. So I got to give it that,
Lucas. Nope.
The DC event is happening because of the crisis anniversary, and because DC is moving to LA from New York. So they wanted 2 months worth of stories that they could produce ahead of time that they would just be able to push print and
I thought DC was moving to Burbank.
Well, yeah.
Nah. Burbank is not LA.
So, Lucas, do you like writing for Newsarama?
I do. It's good. Fun. Right now, it's kind of crazy with these 2 major events coming up from both publishers.
I bet.
And then there is, you know, it's video game season, and so.
Oh, let's talk about video game season, because I don't want to talk about comic books anymore.
Well, hold on.
I'm so angry with everything you just described to me.
Matt before, Queens is great. So before, is Saga.
Before we move on to video games, I just want to talk very, very briefly about the DC small screen
yes.
Stuff.
Flash is the best of the new shows.
Flash is the best of the new
Flash
shows.
Flash is definitely the best
because
of the new
shows.
Because
you know why? Because it's fucking fun. That's it why. Is fun. They actually remembered that, hey, superheroes can
are
have fun.
Fun. I started watching Arrow from the beginning earlier this week, and I'm already on season two because I don't have a life.
I love Arrow.
It's so problematic, though. I just really want to just discuss the flaws in the character's logics where it's like, spoiler alert. I'm dating a police officer. She gets shot in the line of duty. It's obviously my fault because I'm the Green Arrow. Cries to himself. I just want to flip tables. I'm just like, I can't with you. But yes, The Flash is the most fun. I want to wife up Barry Allen like nobody's business.
And Supergirl's going to be good, guys.
Wait, what?
It's Greg Berlanti. Greg Berlanti.
You know about Supergirl?
No, I don't know anything about Supergirl.
Greg Berlanti, same EP from Arrow and
Flash. They're making an episodic Supergirl?
Is doing a Supergirl TV series. It already has a series order.
Is it like Smallville?
It's going to be on CBS, but it's going to be part of the shared universe.
Wait, CBS? Oh,
man, I read this on Newsarama.com.
Yeah.
Yeah, you did.
That's a place you can read it on. And
link in the show notes.
It's going to start with Supergirl full powered, ready to go out and be a superhero.
Whoa!
So it's going to be more flashy.
I love Constantine. Constantine is actually my favorite.
I'm loving that show too.
What are your odds? You're a betting man. What kind of odds would you put on a cameo from Helen Slater?
On Constantine?
Ooh. I'd say pretty good.
On a Supergirl series.
I'd say pretty good.
Very, very good.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, because I was always really excited that, like, Lana Lang was on Smallville.
Right.
Yeah.
From the, and now The Flash, his dad
father.
Is The Flash from the 1990 series.
Oh, really?
That was Barry Allen in the show.
His father was the original TV.
Everything's
Flash.
Coming up, Helen Slater.
Yeah, man.
Oh, my lord. Love it.
Any rumors, tidbits, speculation on any small screen stuff that we should probably watch out for?
Or tell us about your Twitter.
Hashtag. Let's get this hashtag going, guys. Hashtag Gotham Subtlety. So what you want to do is you want to take like a Bat villain or any Batman character and then very unsubtly talk about that character. So like Two-Face just came onto the Harvey Dent just came onto the show. So an example would be, oh, that Harvey Dent, he's so Two-Faced. Hashtag Gotham Subtlety.
Yeah.
Or
Selina Kyle, she demands you call her cat.
Right.
Hashtag Gotham Subtlety.
And see, that of course is an actual example from the actual show, which proves the point.
Yeah. How subtle.
So
something
like,
really is.
I don't know about Professor Crane. He just gives me the creeps. Always standing around like some kind of scarecrow.
Duh.
Wink, wink, nudge,
hashtag
nudge. Staring at the camera.
Yeah.
Yeah, I get kind of sad that Gotham thinks we're all stupid.
Or that they're trying so bad to make us.
They're pandering so.
They're pandering so hard to fans like that.
So here's my goofy thought process on that. I think that is actually their shout out to the Batman 66 series.
Yeah,
I really do.
Well,
I think
it's a wink and a nod. This also is the well, you talk about Adam West show, right?
Yeah. So outside of Batman the Animated Series, which we can all say is the holiest of holies.
yeah, it is.
It's really yes.
It's pretty good.
It really is.
It's damn good.
Outside of that, this is the first time that Batman's been back on TV since 1968.
That is also true, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, even if it's not Batman.
Batman without Batman!
I really feel like that the over-the-top and the oh, why are you always speaking in riddles, Nygma? Like, that's a literal, actual line from the TV show.
Yeah.
I really think that they're doing that completely on purpose, completely aware.
Oh, no, absolutely.
And definitely, consistent with that is Jada Smith, Pinkett Smith's entire performance.
Well, I don't know if it's a wink and a nod to the Adam West series, but definitely everything that they're doing is on purpose. It is written that way specifically as a sort of wink and a nod. It's almost as if they don't trust the fans to know what the fuck they're talking about half the time.
Yeah. No, well, but, I'm actually kind of with Lucas on this. I think that that makes sense that they're...
Because the fans know who these characters are.
Yeah. They're...
These characters are 75 fucking years old.
Yes, they are.
The fans know... So the fans know who the Riddler is.
The fans know that the girl with the red hair who's always shot in a greenhouse.
My Gotham subtlety tweet for her was that every time she's on the screen from now on, they're going to play Poison by Belle Biv DeVoe.
No, but I'm with Lucas that they would do
Ivy
that.
Ivy Pepper comes on the screen.
That girl is poison.
I'd still watch it. Here's the thing.
I would watch every episode that she's in three times.
Just
I'd watch it live.
I'd
watch it on Hulu. I'd watch it on the DVR.
I want to say this right now. I love Gotham. I am going to watch every episode twice.
Yep. Love it.
And I am not going to stop watching it.
Don't care.
No. Yeah. Don't care.
Don't going to keep watching.
I forgive everything. I forgive it all. But man, it's just sometimes it's a little hard because it comes out of really thick. It's like, okay, guys, I get it.
It's just a fascinating, like, dichotomy between this whole, like, gritty crime drama city on the verge of war and bloodlust and all of this. And then it's like, oh, Kristen Kringle, wink, wink. And, like, right. There's, like, this whimsy in the middle of drama, drama, drama. And it almost, like... detracts from the grit and the drama element.
Here's why I don't think it's a wink and a nod to the Adam West series, in that there's a lot of television out there that I love and adore that their first season was a bit hinky. Their first season, they were still trying to find their footing. They hadn't quite found their formula yet. Mm-hmm. So that's what I think is going on here. Like, they're laying it on really, really thick because they haven't quite found their pattern, and
let's be honest, when you're working from source material where a guy named Enigma becomes the Riddler and a guy named Julian Day becomes Calendar Man, you're already kind of there with the source material.
So I don't know. I mean, you know, the Batman thing makes sense to me. I don't know. I mean,
Flash is so fucking awesome.
The
and
Flash
oh my
so
god, when
Flash
they
is so good.
when they start the time travel stuff and bring in Reverse Flash, you guys are going to flip the fuck out. Oh, sorry. What?
What? What?
Oh, you did it. You did that Lucas Siegel thing that you did. You just snuck that in there. I saw what you did.
Yes, please.
Oh god, you might even see that before the winter break.
Here's what I love about the Flash. The Flash reminds me like classic Buffy. In that there's like a monster of the week that's sort of like a larger metaphor of like something he's going through personally.
That's almost verbatim what you said on last month's episode when discussing this show.
Well, he's
still right.
Yes.
Well, I don't know. I'm just
that's
saying,
not
it's,
something
it's,
I'll
I'm
say
saying,
about
it's like
Lego
it's
that
polished.
It hasn't changed.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much.
I adore The Flash. The end.
Okay. Constantine, I'm enjoying
Constantine
a whole lot.
Constantine is great.
I'm really, really liking that
Every
show.
Easter egg you've seen in Constantine is there for a reason. None of it will go
None of it's thrown
off
away?
By the wayside.
Ooh. Wait.
None of it.
Hold on.
I specifically,
maybe when you saw in the very first episode a certain helmet.
Yeah, that's what
and
I was
then maybe
say.
A little box that's a skull.
Oh,
and
God, I'm so excited.
None of that was lost on me. None of it.
Yeah.
Do you think we'll meet
Okay.
I'm so excited.
Wait, what? What'd you say?
I said, do you think we'll meet Zatanna?
There was a poster for Zatara in this past week's episode.
Zatanna's father.
Yeah.
Yep, Zatanna's father.
Yeah, what magic. All the magic. Magic.
I've always had a huge, huge soft spot in my heart for the DC magic wielders.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Because I think some of those were like some of the most like subversive, because nobody was reading them, and so they were just doing like really subversive, really like out there kind of stories with those guys, and
I really liked
those. Mm-hmm. All right. Well,
DC Smallscreen, yay! DC Comics, boo! Wrapping it up.
Let's move on. Let's move on to Vigi Games.
Vigi Games.
Yes.
Schaefer's. I know you got.
Is Assassin's Creed Unity as glitchy and bad as everybody says?
Yes and no are my answers to those.
That's
that
not a real answer,
question.
Lucas Siegel.
No, he asked two questions. He asked if it's as glitchy as everybody says and if it's as bad as everybody says. It is absolutely as glitchy as everybody says.
You're an Assassin's Creed, though.
I am an Assassin's Creed fucking nut.
Yeah.
That's true, yeah.
I stopped playing this game about 4 hours in, and I have not picked it back up yet.
Ooh, that is unprecedented for Lucas Siegel and an Assassin's Creed game.
Yeah, and so it's Rogue is really fun though on the old consoles. Rogue is really fun. It's basically just an extent, a giant 30-hour expansion pack to Assassin's Creed 4, and you play as a Templar who goes around and hunts assassins, which is a fun flip. Yeah,
wait, that's
on PS3 and 360 only. So Unity, the whole, it was supposed to be, you know, Ubisoft's crowning moment, their big entry into the new consoles.
It was supposed to be multiplayer,
only on the new consoles, so they didn't have to hold anything back. Their tech demos, the demos that they did at E3 were fucking
amazing,
insane,
amazing.
So cool. I saw like 2,700 characters on screen at one time. Ridiculous. insane. The best use of the new generation technology that I could hope for, because I want more stuff like that rather than just a slightly prettier bird that flies by.
Right, right.
And man, I can't go up a tall building without it getting choppy at least once. Like, the frame rate is so bad. It literally drops. It drops into beyond where the average human being would notice. So it's way below that. I think I've seen people online reporting when they've been, like, clocking it, that it's gone as low as 12 frames per second.
Holy shit.
Which, at that point, it's almost like stop motion animation, and your character is just kind of like hopping up a building, and you literally see that, and it's awful, and it takes you right out of the game. I was enjoying the narrative of it for that 4 hours that I played. I also went on my honeymoon to Paris, and so I was really enjoying seeing all of these Parisian sights and everything, and the way that they rendered them is amazing, and Paris is basically one-to-one of what it was in the late 18th century.
Oh, nice.
And it's unreal. Like,
so
just,
the geography is accurate.
Yeah, and just beautiful, beautiful, wow. Beautiful, beautiful scenery. The problem is that you're, you know, teleporting around it like a fucking South Park character.
because
so,
of the frame rate issues.
Right, right. And then, yeah,
well, that's
there's...
disappointing.
I did get to see one of the insane cutscenes, which apparently the patch that was just released this week, today or yesterday, fixes this particular glitch. But in one of the cutscenes, the entire front half of the player character Arno, the entire front half of his face is just gone, and it's just eyeballs floating there, and lips. It's just eyeballs and lips. And one of the eyeballs has his eyelashes on it, like coming out, and they're like fluttering over his eyeball. And it's this really serious, like deep conversation with the girl he's been in love with since he was like 10 years old.
Oh dear.
I hate it.
And it's just these eyeballs and the lips, and he's just like, rawr, rawr, rawr. Oh man, it's so creepy. It was awesome. it was my favorite glitch I've ever seen in a
if
video
that's
game.
Not turned into a creepypasta. I don't know what is.
So yeah, I think that the game, I mean, the core mechanics worked fine. The narrative was one that I was getting engrossed in, but the glitches are so bad that it's basically unplayable. Mm. One of my the writer for Tom's Guide, one of our sister sites that covered the game, he did play through the whole thing. He said that the issues got better for him later in the game. And like the last third of it, he didn't have a single issue. And he really enjoyed the game overall, but even he had to acknowledge that the glitches were distracting.
Is that an issue that can be resolved somewhat if you,
absolutely.
You install the game?
It should have been resolved with about a 4-month delay. And they just couldn't do that.
What about a game install? If you install it on your hard drive, does that help
all? All games install on the new gen consoles.
Oh, do they?
Okay. Yeah. Yep. Yep. So you've got 30 gigs taking up space on your console, and it's
won't
still
even like it.
So I hope that they get the patches sorted out as soon as humanly possible, and that it improves that way. Because I still really want to play it, and I still really want to play through the whole story. And I was captivated by it early on, and it's beautiful. Aside from the massive glaring issues.
So what else is on your radar, your video game radar? Have all the games that are coming out already come out?
What is something that's coming out of video games that you cannot tell us about? That you will tell us about.
That we have to bleep out.
Yeah, we'll bleep it out. We'll totally bleep it out. Chuck's right. We'll bleep it out.
We'll bleep it out. You can trust me. I'm not a liar.
He's a master bleeper.
I mean, I know some stuff about Arkham Knight.
What?
But I don't. Oh. I don't know how much of that you want to know.
It's probably nothing I want to know. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I don't know. We'll find out. You know, what do you know about Arkham Knight?
What do you know about Arkham Knight that isn't already available?
Oh, there's a lot. I mean. That
like
game,
who the villain is, like
they've revealed like maybe 1/16 of the major parts of that game.
Ooh.
So what?
how many of those remaining 16ths have you been privy to?
Probably about half of them.
You son of a bitch.
Oh,
this is why Nelson doesn't like you, but I love you.
Guys,
yes.
Be nice to our guests.
Oh, right, fair enough.
Curse at him, he's adorable.
Yeah.
What do you know about Arkham Knight?
Spill, Siegel.
It's another one of these games. Like I just told Nelson today, to spoil him a little bit. Dragon Age Inquisition, the game completely fucking changes, and everything that they put out about the game is actually only the first act.
Yes.
Damn.
I love that.
Literally. Everything that they've told you, everything that they've marketed about Dragon Age Inquisition is literally only the first act.
That's such good marketing.
You might even be able to say that about the first half of the first act of Arkham Knight.
Damn! Is Arkham Knight more like RPG-ish now rather than an action-adventure?
No, it's definitely an action-adventure.
Okay.
It's insanely fun and...
Is it still one button?
Fucking good on
PS4. Combat?
Yeah.
Two
button. Yeah, with.
Sorry, two button. Yes, counters.
But your new moves that you have for gadgets are crazy.
Fun.
Because
now
including
you can
the Batmobile stuff,
you can take weapons off of criminals and then use them against them.
You can. You can also use the Batmobile in combo takedowns, like while you're fighting. If the Batmobile is
so you can run over people, fly out, grapple down to the ground shock, and then kick them in the face.
Do you know villains that are in this game that have not appeared in Batman games yet?
Or are there villains that are recurring, that are returning?
Let's go with my question first, because I answer. Oh,
and
yes.
And what
yes.
game console should I get so I can PS4. Play these games? Awesome.
No question.
Okay.
That's what I want for Christmas, Internet.
PS4.
Yeah.
So who is a villain that is going to appear in this game that you are not allowed to tell us about? And
we'll
is his name Professor Pig?
Shut up. That's not real.
I love Professor Pig.
It's not real. That's real, and I'm so happy.
This is Rocksteady's last installment.
Yeah,
so they're pulling all the stops.
They're pulling all the stops, and
ooh, they could probably...
that includes both characters that they haven't gotten to yet and characters that they felt they didn't quite do justice.
Yeah, now you're talking. Wait. Wow, they're pulling out all the stops. They're going to throw a lot of money at this thing. They could probably hire a really expensive screenwriter and also Mark Hamill to make this game kind of special. I can't wait to see what Rocksteady has in store.
They are going to have a lot of fun with it. And I will tell you this. While Arkham Knight ends the Arkham series...
For Rocksteady.
While Arkham Knight ends the Arkham series, the engine is not going anywhere. And there is a big fat game that is... already been in development for over a year using the same engine with different characters from DC Comics that will come out around the same time as another media tie-in that it can come out with.
So that's a Justice League game. That's what that's Lucas Justice is telling League, us. Is. I don't care.
It might be.
I kinda, I kind of care. I actually kind of care that I kind of want a Justice League game.
Lucas, I have to say, you are the best at giving spoilers without giving spoilers.
You are really, really good at this. I've been doing this for...
I need it to be recognized.
Thank you. I've been doing this for 10 years.
This ain't his first night at the rodeo. Like,
and so it's...
Everything on me is tingly, and I didn't really learn anything. So.
And that's what I can do with just my voice.
How about this? From a scale from one to horribly, horribly gone wrong, how horrible... will the Superman character be in the game? Go.
In what game?
In that Justice League game you just told all of our listeners is
no. The
up.
Only the only Superman character I know of in any game right now is Lego Batman 3 that just came out. And he's great.
And you know
what?
For the record, that's actually pretty good. I played a demo.
It's really fun. Yeah. When you're Wonder Woman, if you fly, the 70s Wonder Woman theme plays.
Yeah. And that funk guitar.
It's awesome. I literally, my wife and I were sitting down to play this for the first time, and we got to the point where we had Wonder Woman, and I decided to control Wonder Woman almost the entire time there for that whole section, because every time she was like, what do we do next? And I go, I don't know, it sounds like a job for, and then I just hit jump twice and fly, and it would go, Wonder Woman!
Oh, I need to play this game.
You might be barking up the wrong tree with Justice League. You might be.
Oh.
Is it going to be Aquaman? I want it to be Aquaman. Can someone please make it Aquaman?
Well, I mean, the only DC movie that's on the works is the Superman Batman film. Mm-hmm. Or is there another DC film that I'm not aware of?
I don't know. Look at his eyes and say it
again.
I mean,
there's like, what?
I was
like
looking 12
DC
what?
Movies that are on the docket?
No. So please refresh my memory. What's the docket?
So it goes Superman, Batman, Suicide Squad.
No.
Sorry. Yeah, Suicide Squad, they're doing a slightly different take because they're using some big villains in it, like Lex Luthor and the Joker.
Right.
Alongside villains like Harley Quinn and Deadshot and Black Manta.
Yeah, that's not going to work.
At all. And Deathstroke. As well, yeah, I believe
that's not going to work.
Also on slate is the Shazam movie,
and then
Captain Marvel.
After those two, then it's Wonder Woman, mm-hmm. And then what's the second one that year? The Flash, I think. And
is
then
it gonna be, is it going to be a movie?
And then Aquaman, and then Justice League Part One.
Shut up! You said Aquaman.
And then yeah, Khal Drogo is Aquaman.
You shut your. Mouth.
He's in,
I can't
he's in
breathe.
Superman, Batman, Dawn of Justice too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's making a cameo.
So
guys, I just died.
yeah, and then Shazam, and there's Deadpool. Cyborg, and then Green Lantern, and Justice League Part Two.
Damn.
So either you're hinting that Rocksteady is going to sell its engine so that somebody can make a Justice League game.
Rocksteady doesn't own their engine. Warner Brothers Interactive owns their engine.
Ah. Oh. You're suggesting that that engine is going to see new life. Then I'm going with it's going to be a Batman Superman game.
Ooh.
You know what?
And I'm going to take the gentle tapping of Lucas Siegel setting his beer down as the period on my hypothesis.
Yeah.
Well, but those are
interesting ideas.
Superman games are horrible, by and large.
Hey, Batman games were horrible until the Arkham series came around.
Right.
That's true. That's true.
I too want just a fucking Aquaman solo game.
Oh, it make me so happy.
Yeah.
It'd
be like Echo the Dolphin, but with punches to the face.
It'd be like Parappa
Echo
the
Dolphin,
Rappa.
But he punches sharks in the face.
Yes.
But with sonar.
Mr. Siegel, I want you to give me your top three uber pop culture devotee gifts for this holiday. Go.
I mean, number one is Batman 66, the Batman 1960s full series set
on DVD, Blu-ray.
Yeah. Yes. I just received that on Blu-ray, and it's perfect.
It's gorgeous. Yeah,
and it's man, if you thought you remembered how cheesy this show was, you are wrong. Oh my god. And does anyone remember that the Batusi was in the very first episode of the show?
I mean that.
And there's like the anti-theft device that has a little pullover button that says start button, so that when the Riddler tries to steal the Batmobile, he presses the anti-theft device button. The anti-theft device? It's just fireworks shooting out the back of the Batmobile. And there's all sorts of people just standing around watching all of this happen anyway.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
But it's so fun, it's
for pure nostalgia.
Exactly. I think, in a lot of ways, and man, I'm going to catch so much shit for this. In a lot of ways, that show, really had the potential of utterly killing the Batman franchise, and it completely destroyed what Batman was originally conceived to be.
Mm-hmm.
Luckily, some guys named, you know, Denny O'Neill and Neil Adams came along, and then a guy named Frank Miller came along after them, and they you know, brought him back into the darkness. But what's cool about it is that it is such a radically different take from the Batman that we know and love today, that it shows you how the very idea of Batman kind of transcends Batman. The idea of this character transcends anything that you think you know about the character. It can be something completely different.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Cool.
Yeah. So that's number one.
I'm sold. I'm on board. What's next?
God, I gotta say Dragon Age Inquisition. This game is awesome. It's definitely up there right alongside Shadow of Mordor you know, game of the year contenders for me. I've also loved Destiny. Destiny has all sorts of flaws to it, but
is that
so
the multiplayer where every single problem is solved by shooting something?
Woo.
I mean, it's a first-person shooter, so yeah.
So yeah, all right.
Basically, but yeah, Dragon Age Inquisition, man. I mean, you can't get a better bang for your buck in a video game.
I'm having a really good time with it so far.
You spend your $60 on that game, and I mean, if you play RPGs the way that I play them, where you want to do every damn side quest and get everything you possibly can, you're gonna get like anywhere from 125 to 140 hours on one playthrough.
Nice.
Wow.
They even in like the reviewer guide that EA sent when they sent it, they said the minimum for just the main story is like 55 to 60 hours.
Wow.
Which is, that's a big game.
That's the amount of time that, and either the first two games, if you play them all the way through and did everything, they clocked in around 50 to 60 hours.
Well, with the expansion packs for Origins, it got into the 100 range. But yeah. That's definitely number two. I just think, and it's a game it's accessible to new players. If you are a longtime Dragon Age fan, you are going to just flip your shit about 10,000 times throughout this game. I know I have. I literally was like weeping on my couch last night during a mid-Act 3 scene. Oh, man. It was vicious. So look forward to that.
Every Dragon Age game has made me cry. So, again, I guess it's just kind of going for, you know, the trifecta for Nelson tears.
Basically. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I guess I should do something that's just straight up comic books. What's a really good, I mean, the Saga Volume 1 hardcover just came out, and it's beautiful, and it's oversized.
Oh.
And it, oh man, ooh, it's so pretty.
And that's not just Volume 1, it's like Volume 1 and
so it's the first three trades.
That's it.
And it's the first three trades all in one hardcover, and it's in a larger format, so it's a little bit bigger than the regular comic book page or the trade pages. And so the art's a little bit, you can see a little bit more of the detail, and I mean, that's a book that I've literally bought three times now. So I bought the single issues digitally, I bought the trade, and now have the hardcover, and it's That hardcover is just gorgeous, and it's something.
Any cool extras like?
Yeah, there's a lot of sketch extras. There's some script samples from BKV in there, and yeah, it's that's gorgeous. Man, the latest Walking Dead trade was just a shit ton of fun too. I think that officially came out yesterday. Oh man, Kirkman is just totally fucking with everybody that has stuck with him for 11 years now, and it's so great. Yeah, it's the first trade post All Out War, and there's the
new start.
There's a little time jump.
It's 22. It came out last week.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just fun.
Yeah,
Fucks with people.
Yeah, I really liked All Out War, and I liked seeing the end of it.
Yeah.
It's just so brutal.
They haven't cast Negan yet, but they're talking about it.
Yeah, they have to. I wouldn't even consider that a spoiler if you knew something about that. They have to. You say Negan?
Mm-hmm.
I say Negan.
Negan.
It's Negan?
Yeah. It's Negan.
And Lucille.
Yes.
Yeah.
Every day's a school day here in the old Epic Podcast.
I mean, I saw the official prop for Lucille a year ago.
The official prop?
Yeah. Like they made the official prop.
What's
a year
Lucille?
Ago.
Lucille is Negan's weapon. It's a baseball bat wrapped in barbed wire. He's the best bad guy that I've read written in years.
Outstanding.
He's such a good villain. He's written so well. I look forward to seeing him on AMC.
On the televisal.
Why, then thank you, Mr. Lucas Siegel.
Thank you so much
for coming.
Thank you, guys.
Fourth time was the charm. We perfected the Lucas Siegel interview.
Yeah.
Finally.
Yeah. So.
Schaefer, any final thoughts there, Chappie?
It's really good to see you. Congratulations again on the marriage.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Love and stuff.
Yeah. Yay. Love and stuff is awesome. And it's fun and it's a blast. And God, what? I feel like I should drop one last little thing.
Oh,
you guys.
Oh,
I'm trying
please
to,
do. Ooh, ooh, please
I'm
do.
Trying
please
to think
do.
Of like what to. Oh, man.
Take your time.
There's going to be at least one major moment in Convergence that's going to make both of you go, fuck, I'm going to buy all 80 issues of Convergence. Literally.
No, no chance.
Literally. Nope. There really is. There really is. It's,
I don't buy it.
It's nostalgia stroking at its best slash worst, but man, there are a couple things in there that I am just so excited to see.
Once I see Damian crawl out of Darkseid's gun on Apocalypse, I am done with that publishing company.
Well, you might see a different version of Damian, a more classic version of Damian.
Oh, fuck you.
And he might.
Fuck you!
There might be the possibility of the other one going away and this one remaining at the end of everything.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
That's great. that's
fuck.
Watching these two with DC Comics is like watching a drug addict.
It's
delightful. The sadist in me is tickled to death.
Super Damian! Did you see the cover?
Goodbye, Lucas Siegel. Goodbye. Thank you so much for showing up.
Action Comics number one style?
You're great.
You're done.
He's lifting the car.
Get the fuck out. Don't let the doorknob hit
you on the
ass.
Super Damian!
Ladies and gentlemen, Lucas Siegel. Thank you, Lucas. You're my favorite.
Thank you, Chuck.
Fuck you. Fuck you. Fuck. Fuck you.
Fuck you!
Ladies and gentlemen, we would like to thank Lucas Siegel for dropping by the podcast this month to make us angry.
Well, he made you guys angry. He made me happy.
Well, he made me happy when he first showed up. I always like seeing Lucas Siegel.
Yeah, that's right. I enjoy Mr. Siegel's company.
I liked watching him make you guys so mad.
But yeah, I kind of just want to flip a cosmic table every time he starts talking about things that make me angry.
When can we have him back?
I don't know. In 6 months. That's how it usually goes.
Yeah.
Yay!
Chuck, you materialized out of mist during the interview.
Yeah, we missed you at the top when we did our introductions.
That's okay. I'm sad that I missed. You guys talked about Marvel.
We talked about Marvel quite a bit, yeah.
I'm a Marvel girl at the end. That's all I have to say about it. I love Marvel.
All right. Well, you covered it.
Boom.
So
efficient. Yes. That's how I roll.
So I think we're going to close out the podcast, but before we go, we're all performer types peoples.
Yes, we are.
With busy schedules.
Yes.
So where can they find you, Chuck Stunning? Go.
I'm going to be in Austin, and then I come back. When I'm back from Austin, visiting family for Thanksgiving, on the 2nd of December, I will be opening a show at the Creek in the Cave. I don't know what time. I don't know what show. Just go to the Creek in the Cave on December 2nd, and I will be there eventually as Afterbirth Monkey. On December 5th at 7:30, I'm playing an art show as Afterbirth Monkey somewhere. Message me if you want to know where. And then at 9:30 on that same night, I'm playing a storyteller show called Bear, not to be confused with Peter Aguero's Bear, but Jefferson Bite's Bear, which is going to be at the Sidewalk Cafe at 9:30. On Sunday, December 7th, my brand new variety comedy burlesque show opens. It's called Raunchy and Risque. It's going to be a 10 p.m. show every other Sunday starting on December 7th. I am in charge of booking the burlesque, and my friend Freddie is in charge of booking the comedy. It's going to be a gross, sex-positive, insanely wonderful variety comedy burlesque show thing. So check it out on Facebook and go to it. It's going to be at the Creek in the Cave in Long Island City. On December 13th, I am at a show at the new Kings County Bar, which is at 1 Knickerbocker in Bushwick. Chicken Bitches is hosting a show, and Afterbirth Monkey is going to make gross music sounds like we do. Because that's how we roll. On Wednesday, December 17th, I will be a part of the 6th annual Naked Girls Reading Charles Dickens edition. So if you want to see me naked and reading Charles Dickens, you need to be at Under St. Mark's Theater on December 17th. On December 18th, I will be a part of Excelsior Burlesque's BBC Burlesque show, and I will be doing my Fawlty Towers number. Don't be mad. It's stupid. On Sunday, December 21st, it will be another Raunchy and Risque show, so you should join me up there at the Creek in the Cave, and then Christmas happens, and I will be taking a much-needed winter's nap.
What do you got there, Shafes?
On Thursday, December 4th, I am going to do a couple of songs in Debauchery. It's a show run by Stormy Leather and Clown Kong at the Slipper Room. On Saturday, December 13th, I am hosting Francine the Lucid Dreams Pink Room Burlesque as she brings back her burlesque tribute to David Lynch's Dune. Not the books, not the television series, not the documentary about the other failed film adaptation. No, David Lynch's Dune. December 13th, Parkside Lounge in New York City. On Sunday, December 14th, I will be the guest host at Church of Titillation, a burlesque show at Times Square in Times Square. And then Santa Claus. That's Yay. All I've got in December.
Shit.
Wilson, what are you doing, honey?
On December 11th, I'm going to be telling a story at the Talk Therapy show, details of which you can find on my website. Basically, it's a storytelling show where the theme centers around mental health or emotional things, or one's emotional life, I should say. Then on December 13th, I am going to be at the Parkside Lounge at the Pink Room Burlesque's tribute to Dune, David Lynch's Dune. I am going to make a Baron Harkonnen float. That's that's what I'm going to do. On December 14th, I'm going to be in Brooklyn. No, actually, I'm going to be in Ridgewood, Queens at a show called Force Majeure. It's a brand new variety show, late night variety show. Check it out. It's a whole lot of fun. On December 15th, I'm actually going to be recording a podcast with the Crash Cord peeps.
Oh.
So I'm sure that that podcast will probably air sometime that week. So keep an ear out for it. I've decided I'm going to troll the fuck out of the Crash Cord's crew, and I'm going to present them with an album that they cannot hate. And if they do, they are horrible human beings.
Is it going to be the Space Jam soundtrack? Because no one can hate that soundtrack.
Better.
Nah.
Better.
Nah.
And then Christmas.
Yeah.
And that's pretty much it for December. I'm doing a private gig for New Year's. I'm going to be in Orlando, Florida. You can't come to it, but I just like bragging that I'm going to be in Orlando, Florida on New Year's.
Why would you? But you can't plug it. Why would you plug a New Year's show when there's going to be another episode before New Year's?
I know. I just like the fact that I'm going to be in 80 degree weather while you guys are freezing your butts off here in New York City.
I'll probably be dead by then.
Really?
No.
Oh.
Oh.
I know.
I thought this was you were going to drop some really heavy news.
No. God, no. Speaking of death and stuff, can I plug a thing that has nothing to do with me, but everyone should do?
What's that?
If you are in the New York City area, you need to go to the Theater for a New Audience and see their show, Tamburlaines, Parts 1 and 2. It's a Christopher Marlowe play, and my former co-producer of Honey Badger Burlesque, Sherry Cola, is the blood supervisor. And if you love blood in the way I love blood, you have to go see this show. It's phenomenal.
Stop. So, America's Darling, Cherry Cola, works at a Broadway show.
Off
Broadway show. Yeah. Where her job title is
Blood Supervisor. I think everyone should see this show.
I'm in the wrong business. I want
all
to be
the
a blood
all
supervisor.
The one listener of you that probably lives in New York.
Fuck.
Go see it. It's going to be in the show notes.
Hey, if for some reason you find yourself in New York City, see Muldrow, go check out the show.
Tamburlaine.
Is she going to be in New York City?
I don't know. I just wanted to send a shout out because we missed it last month.
Hi, C. Muldrow.
Do we have to say it again to cover for the fact that we missed it last month?
We just both said it. Now, if you say it, maybe she'll appear like Beetlejuice.
No. I don't want to do that.
Why? She's fun.
No, oh,
that's how
true.
I appeared
that's
today.
True.
That was fun.
C. Muldrow.
It is confirmed C. Muldrow is not Beetlejuice.
It didn't work. She's not here.
She's Beetlejuice. I'm an idiot.
All right. Well, I think that's it.
Yay.
Ooh, one thing I should address. One thing. We asked you for questions last month. We're just going to do that later.
Yeah.
We asked you for sex advice questions.
Well, we only got four.
We got four questions.
And a dick pic.
And a dick pic from my bandmate, Jordan Turner.
So what we're going to do is we're going to hold over until the next episode. We might even save it for the February episode, actually. It's only two more months away.
And then you have more time to send us more questions.
Yeah. Send us questions. Failures. We need questions for a full episode. Four questions does not an episode make.
Mm-hmm. No. But thank you, people who did send questions. We're sorry we're going to delay it.
Yeah, so send us your love advice, asking us for love advice questions to epicpodcast@gmail.com. That's epicpodcast@gmail.com. What the hell was that? This has been the Epic Podcast, episode 27. I have been your host, Nelson Lugo.
I have been your other host, Schaefer the Dark Lord.
And I have been your other host, Charles Stunning.
Be safe, Internet.
Did you know the sap of the Dracaena cinnabari is called the blood of the dragon and is used to varnish violins?
Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Epic Podcast. We'd love to hear from you, our loyal listener. So send us your feedback, love mail, hate mail, dick pics, and recipes to epicpodcast@gmail.com. But seriously, don't send us dick pics.
As listener-supported entertainment, we rely on you to keep this and other shows on the Nerdy Show Network alive by telling a friend, rating and reviewing us on iTunes, shopping at nerdyshow.com/store, or directly donating to the network. Any sized contribution gets you exclusive Nerdy Show audio and images and lets you participate in our monthly support drives. Just go to nerdyshow.com/support to chip in. To find out how you or your company can underwrite this or other Nerdy Show programming, visit nerdyshow.com/sponsorships. For more episodes of the Epic Podcast, as well as other fine programs, community forums, videos, articles, and more, head over to nerdyshow.com. You can subscribe to all Nerdy Show Network podcasts via the iTunes Store. And for the latest news, follow us on all your favorite social networks. We're glad to be your home for authentic nerdy entertainment.
Nelson Lugo, friend to America, riding the slopes of love. He's saving the world from himself again. Nelson Lugo, he can do it, man. Just writing a jingle for you.
The Nelson Lugo jingle.